Nothing says autumn like an apple. It's as much an American symbol as the bald eagle. We bake apple pies and apple crisps. We give shiny apples to our teachers. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. But author Roam Jacobson told KUOW's Marcy Silman the only apple native to North America is the crab apple. In his new book, Apples of Uncommon Character, Roam Jacobson documents hundreds of apple varieties, including the ones we know and love.
The apple that we know started off actually in Kazakhstan, in the Tian Shan Mountains, which means the heavenly mountains, right on the border between Kazakhstan and China. And actually, you can still go there today. Some of those apple forests still exist. You can wander through these mountain forests where 60% of the trees are apple trees. And so in fall, they'll just be fruit all over the canopy and all over the floor.
Are they widely valued as an eating fruit there?
They do. They'll gather them and sell them on roadsides and stuff, but they aren't quite revered like the way they should be. Because to me, you know, there's also like nut trees mixed in and apricots. If you're looking for the Garden of Eden, the Tian Shan apple forests, you can't do much better than that.
Well, then why is the apple so American? Maybe I'm just totally, it's my vantage point as an American, but it just seems like such an American fruit.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And that all goes back to the founding of this country. The apple and the colonists arrived together. The apple had been grown in Europe for a few thousand years by then, but we brought it over with us and immediately planted it. And we're almost like partners conquering the new world together. And it did as well as we did.
So it's a fruit that came of age with our country.
Exactly.
I'm speaking with Roam Jacobson, and he's got a new book. It's called Apples of Uncommon Character. Roam, you have 123 different apples in this book. How many actually are there in the world, more than this?
Way more. And I don't think anyone knows for sure. Back in 1900, the USDA tried to do a count, and they came up with more than 7,000 varieties of apples just in the U.S.,
That's a lot of apples.
Yeah, there's probably 3,000 more in Europe. So somewhere above 10,000, in theory, are out there.
I think that there are probably listeners who just say, oh, that Red Delicious apple, which was a main crop in Washington State for decades, you know, it doesn't taste particularly like much. It's pretty to look at, but it gave apples a really bad reputation, don't you think? You know, people had that as they're growing up, and they're like, oh, I'd rather have a peach than an apple, or, you know, something from somewhere else.
Absolutely. It turned a whole generation off of apples, which was too bad. I mean, it was the right apple for its time for a while there. It served some very good roles. But now, actually, we're at a watershed moment right now. I just talked with some growers in Yakima last night, and they told me that, you know, the Red Delicious has been in decline in terms of acres produced for a while. This might be the year where Gala passes Red Delicious, and Red Delicious is bumped from the number one post for the first time since probably 1950.
Nationwide or here in Washington State?
Nationwide. Worldwide.
Really? The Gala apple? What is it about that apple that would make it jump to number one in appledom?
Yeah, it's a killer apple. It's easy to grow, for one, so it works for them the same way Red Delicious did. But Gala has a fantastic, much more tropical kind of citrusy flavor when grown well and when it's only maybe a couple of weeks off the tree. It doesn't store as well always as some, but it is a fantastic apple when you get it fresh.
We're lucky in the Seattle region to have a plethora of farmers markets, and for orchardists who make that trek from the east side mostly, and there are some west side, west of the Cascade apple growers as well, they come to a farmers market, we can find rare and interesting apples. But what about just regular supermarkets? If that was where I had to shop, what should I be looking for in there to buy apple-wise?
I guess, you know, we should start with Honeycrisp, which is kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Honeycrisp has revolutionized the apple industry. It's the first apple that's come along that people will pay more for, sometimes a lot more. They almost don't care what the price is on Honeycrisp. They want Honeycrisp.
Why?
It has a texture unlike any apple that's come before it. If you've had one, you know it. Some people have trademarked the term explosively crisp to market their Honeycrisps. But it's true. I think of it as like an apple-flavored Cheeto. You bite into it. It's got this kind of like these foamy cells that just explode and shoot juice all over your mouth. And then it's gone. It's just kind of evaporates. So it's super easy to eat. There's a lot of pyrotechnics. I think of it like a blockbuster movie. You know, it's like a lot of explosions and you don't think about it much after it's over.
So Honeycrisp, the 800-pound gorilla of apples, if you were in a store, what would you gravitate toward? And I'm talking about a grocery store, a supermarket kind of place. What would you buy if you didn't have that orchard behind your house?
Right. If you're talking about the sort of like the international megastars of the apple world, besides Honeycrisp, there is an apple called a Pink Lady. Really nice apple out of Australia.
I was going to say that's not grown in the United States, is it?
It is now. And a guy has it's grown right out in Yakima. There's a guy out there who's the one Pink Lady grower for the U.S.
And if supermarket was not the definition of where I was shopping, if you had your choice of any apple that you would see in a farm stand or a farmer's market, what's your favorite?
Then you get into the really interesting stuff. There's an apple called Cox's Orange Pippin, which you'll find in farm stands and pick your own places. It's considered the greatest tasting apple of all time, generally by the apple connoisseur. It's an English apple from the 1800s, still the number one eating apple in England, grown more and more here. It doesn't produce like the big commodity apples do, and it looks ugly to us. It'll have kind of a gnarly skin, but just amazing mix of flavors burst in your mouth when you bite into a Cox's Orange Pippin. And it's a very hard apple. Not crisp like a Honeycrisp, but nice, hard, crunchy texture where it's a little workout for your jaw, which is nice.
At this point, I'm sure many listeners are thinking, I want to go get some apples. So are there apple tastings around? What do you recommend for the adventurous apple lover or maybe wannabe apple lover?
Farmers markets around Seattle are, you know, really excellent in terms of apple varieties on hand. You guys do better here than almost anywhere that I know of.
So be exploring, taste.
Yeah, and don't let color fool you. A lot of the best tasting apples are those russets that have that papery skin. You know, it looks like a brown, weird little thing, but it's got a nutty depth to it that you don't get in the classic apples. And there's purple apples out there that have almost a lychee flavor to them. You get a lot of banana notes in certain apples. So definitely explore. Go for things you've never heard of before.
I can see the next party that someone's going to hold apple tasting.
We do that in Vermont because we see so many heirlooms in our markets that now the thing will be to just have 20 different apples on a table and go for it.
Sounds fun. Rowan, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure.
Huh. A banana note and an apple. Rowan Jacobson's new book is called Apples of Uncommon Character. He'll be speaking at Town Hall tonight at 7:30, and there will be cider after the talk. He spoke with KUOW's Marcy Selman.